You ready?
Yeah.
For some howdy in? Howdy, it's Monday, August 12th, 2024, and this is episode 234 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast and gaming. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Feel refreshed after almost 3 weeks off. You what must feel super refreshed.
Oh, yes. Not jet-lagged at all, just refreshed.
How long ago did you get back? You've been back for like 5 days. Why would you be jet-lagged?
No, I'm not really jet-lagged anymore. Yeah, I got back technically early Wednesday morning. So, yeah, 5 days.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
Indeed.
Asia trip. First, we have to do Always, Once, Never. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I'm really running out of Always, Once, Never topics.
Yeah. Well, we can move on. We'll come up with something new.
If anybody has any suggestions, either for Always, Once, Never or for an entirely new segment, let's hear it.
What have been our past segments? So we had history, and then we also had, at the end of the episodes, we had Boardwalk Empire. Are those the only two segments that have kind of come and gone?
I think so.
I think so, too.
We should just rewatch Boardwalk Empire, I think. That's what we're
absolutely not. You need to find a new co-host if that's what we're going to do.
I have thought about Boardwalk Empire that I should rewatch it, but just binge it rather than watching it one episode every 2 weeks. It'd probably be a very different experience because people I know and respect their opinions about shows think that it's a fantastic show. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think it's like a very good, yeah, but it's like
I thought
only
it was
like better than medium for me.
Yeah. It was like 6 out of 10 for me or something.
Yeah, that's what I'd give it.
It was better than average. I think my bell curve isn't properly aligned because I think I believe that most things are below average, which shouldn't be the case, I guess. But yeah, I'd say it's good. Good, not great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the opposite of most online media reviews where like 7 is average. It's like not everything is good, guys. It's especially annoying. Like I buy comic books to give you an idea of like where I'm at in the nerd culture. And like every comic gets like an 8.5 out of 10. Not every comic is good. Stop reviewing things this high. You got to set a baseline lower than this.
I don't know. 8.5. That's the baseline.
Anyways, the Always, Once, Never topic that we have is sports viewing experience. So say there's some big game that you really want to watch. What is the best way to do it in Atlantic City?
Mm-hmm.
Sports books. Sports bars outside of the casinos. So Vagabond is the first thing that comes to mind, but Ducktown Tavern, there's certainly other options. And then a table game with a clear view of a TV, which I know you've also done in the past.
Yep.
So in this case, I think the always is just that whenever we're in AC and there is a big game on that you want to watch, this is how you're going to do it. You don't have to go out of your way to find some sporting event to watch, you know, if there's no sporting
event. Right. If there's something I want to watch, though, I have to do my always, except for one of the times.
Yeah.
But I'll do my once.
The tough thing for me is, like, it varies a lot by how much I care about the event. Like, there's lots of sporting events that I want to see. Some of them I, like, really want to sit down and pay attention to, and some of them I'm like, yeah, you know, as long as I can see the score, that's fine, and see generally the plays. I mean, most football is that way for me because it's so turn-based in a way that you can just kind of, like, periodically check the screen.
You know, there's just, like, 100 totally distinct plays that happen, and that is what a football game is. I mean, I guess same thing with baseball. It's like there's, what, 250 pitches that happen, and that's what a baseball game is.
Yeah. So then I didn't include the sports bars in the casinos because I was figuring if we're in the casino, we're going to pick either of the other two casino options, right? Either the sports book or a table.
Uh-huh.
Like we're not going to go to Chickies and Pete's or a damn good sports bar to watch.
I mean, we could just say sports bars or sports bars. But.
And then I didn't include In the Room as an option, which I know you have done in the past as well.
One of the big ones is one of the times I was in Vegas probably 15 years ago. I was with my buddy Greg, who's a huge Steelers fan. And so there was a Ravens-Steelers game that we both obviously wanted to watch, me being a Ravens fan and him being a Steelers fan, and we watched it in our room. I think that's probably my favorite of all of them, if it's something like you really want to watch, which Ravens-Steelers kind of in 2010 time period was definitely like the must-watch TV of that time for Ravens and Steelers fans. So with that not being an option, though, I've, in all honesty, like never watched a sporting event in a sports book before.
Really?
Yeah. No, it hasn't happened. I feel like that should be once more. Because
it's a good time.
I'm probably missing out on something. But I do kind of like the other two a decent bit as well. So I think for AC specifically, I enjoy the sports bars outside of the casinos enough that I think I'm leaning towards that being my always. Though, famously, when we were watching the Ravens game or when I was watching the Ravens game last year when we went, you know, I enjoyed myself at whatever that lounge is in Borgata playing blackjack the whole time. But I think I can throw that into the ocean. So table game with a clear view of the TV.
Oh,
just
wow.
Because, you know, it takes a lot of brain cells. And I was playing blackjack, which requires, like, more frequent decision making than, say, if it was, like, PyGal, which would be pretty much perfect, I think. Because, like, I could set my hands in my sleep, and they're very slow, so there's not that many hands.
Yeah, poker, you mean, not time.
Yeah, I mean, either way. But it's infrequent either way in poker, yes, truly. I don't require any brain cells to set my hand correctly. Yeah, sportsbook I should do once. I think I'd rather go to Vagabond or Ducktown and watch a game than sit at a table game somewhere and watch it on the TV.
Wow, I really thought table game with a clear view of the TV was going to be your always. What if we remove table game with a clear view of a TV and say in the room as the...
For that, that's like, it really matters how much I want to watch the
yeah,
game.
That's true.
If it's like something I really want to watch, like I would make that my always. If it's something like, let's say just like a random Ravens game that like I would like to watch, but it's not like totally urgent, like I'd probably not want to choose that. So it depends on like how bad I want to watch it. If like Ravens playoff game or something, like I'd rather watch that in my room. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the room as an option, this just popped into my head. You know, I'm not actually going to include it as an option, but the big advantage of in the room is that you're not around a bunch of other idiots.
Right.
Who are distracting
screaming.
You from this game
right.
that you're really
exactly.
stressed out about.
Yeah.
And a perfect example of that is I woke up early on Saturday to watch the first Leeds match of the season with my son.
Uh-huh.
And he was super excited to watch it, which I don't know what I'm getting him into because Leeds fandom is terrible. But and that game proved it 100%. But he was just like talking the entire time and like standing in front of the TV. And I'm like, I'm really trying not to yell at you right now because I want you to enjoy this and not feel like you're being bad when you're just excited. But it's really absolutely ruining my experience of watching this game. So that's like being in the sports book, but just with a 6-year-old.
Right.
I don't think I can go sports bars always because I think I would get antsy being out of the casino for that
yeah.
long on an Atlantic City trip. And you know that I'm not going to pick table games always. Like, that's insane.
Right. Yeah, that seems like the clear never for you.
So for me, I'm going sports bars outside of the casino once.
And sports books always?
And sports books always. Especially since I can pick my sportsbook, you know, sitting at the Ocean sportsbook that has video poker or the Borgata sportsbook that has video poker, you can sit there, you can play video poker, so you're still gambling. You can watch a game. Like Paul and I, when we went last year, sat there and watched a Orioles game.
The Orioles game, yeah.
Yeah, and ate a bunch of fries, had a couple beers, played a bunch of video poker, and it was truly awesome. So that's a good experience for me. I think that's my always. I don't know if that's cheating a little bit because it's you're still gambling. It's sort of like
fine.
Being at a table game with a clear view
that's
of a
fine.
TV. But
I don't think it's cheating.
Yeah, I sort of always like romanticize the idea of going to Vegas and like sitting at a sports book and watching a game and like getting drinks. But it's like I'm never going to want to do that for 3 hours. Just never going to want to do that. Plus, I'm still tuned to East Coast time. So every time in Vegas, I would be like, oh, I'm going to go bet on some game. It would be like 9:30 and like all the games are over by then.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's the always once never.
Yeah.
And we're completely out of always once nevers.
That's it.
Well, we've had a bunch of suggestions for like the fancy high-end restaurants, but we haven't been to Chevola, and that's always
yeah, we haven't been
included.
To Chevola.
So
we need to go.
We can circle back around to that always once never once we actually do that.
Speaking of,
let's hear it.
When are we going to go to Atlantic City? I think we're getting closer to your calendar freeing up a little bit. Surely we can get something on the calendar.
I think we could make either a Thursday to Saturday morning or a Friday to Saturday morning happen. Sometime in September, and we will talk dates after the show.
All right.
But I'm aiming for September. That's my hope.
When do your kids go back to school? Labor Day?
Yeah, like the Wednesday after Labor Day.
Okay.
So we got something in the mail. I got something in the mail addressed to the president of Due for a Win.
Right, which was you.
Which is me. You said I'm more like the CEO than the president.
I mean, I don't really know what the difference is, but yeah. You're certainly the decision maker, I think.
President and CEO.
Yeah.
I'm also the president and founding member of the Save Wonder Woman Fund.
Yeah.
Which is what Paul B. said that this voucher is for. We had mentioned this voucher earlier. It was a $20 voucher. That's a significant voucher to Caesars Atlantic City.
Yeah, that's legit.
You can do real things with that.
Like play 20 spins of Wonder Woman or whatever. More than that, right? 60 cents is the minimum or something. So,
like it was the Save Wonder Woman Fund. So it feels like we should use it on Wonder Woman. But it also feels like we should do 4 spins on like $5 a spin pinball or something.
Ah. Well, I mean, he gave it to us, so it's for us to decide.
That's a good point.
He gave it to you, so.
I promise I will be saving Wonder Woman no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just freeing up 20 of my dollars to go toward Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to look at it, because surely I would have played $20 of pinball, if not for this voucher.
You should find a skee ball machine and play that. Due for a Win favorite from 10 years ago.
There's been one at Ocean. I don't know if it's still there, but it was very mean to me last time I played. Very mean. And the screen was very
Yeah, I would imagine. That can't be a new machine. That's pretty old.
It was like one of the first sort of touchscreeny machines that sort of fakes you out that it's a skill-based game.
Yep.
And those screens did not hold up. As we've seen, neither did Wonder Woman Gold or Wonder Woman Wild.
Right.
So. But if you have to stare at a burned-in picture, there are worse things of staring at burned-in
and
pictures
Linda
than Linda Carter. Yeah. All right. How was Asia? You've been away.
Yeah, Asia was good. So I was in Tokyo for 3 nights and Osaka for a night and Taipei for a couple nights. And it was a good trip. Actually, went to Switzerland for a couple nights, transiting home as well. So
crazy trip.
It was a good time. Glad I did it. It was my first big trip by myself since I had kids. So it was good to get out of the house for that long and see a bunch of new places for me and had fun.
Totally worked out not having any plans.
I probably would have changed a couple things in terms of like how I was spending some of my days or whatever. But yeah, no, it did work out. It was good. I think, you know, like I said, this was my first big one. So it's always a bit of a learning experience, but I'm happy with how everything went.
Do you have permission for future big trips like this? Is this like a yearly thing now?
I don't know. I'll bring it up later, I think. I don't think it's the time to just check about the next one yet. But I think so. I think everything was fine at home.
Good.
I got that impression.
What everyone wants to know on the show, what did you fly out and back? Were you in crazy fancy business class?
No, I was actually in first class on the way to Japan. So that was like the first flight I booked. That was kind of the impetus for the trip. It was supposed to be on Japan Airlines, the new A350-1000 or whatever. But unfortunately, they changed my flight. So it was on the old 777-300. So it was still amazing. Yeah, had some interesting flights, had some less than interesting flights on European carriers going home. Yeah, that was my only first class, was the flight to Japan, and everything else was business.
Wow. Coach for me.
No, shouldn't do that. I hear you've got some miles.
I have a lot of miles, yeah. I mean, can't do any, like, Japan or Europe or anything, but not yet.
You probably could.
That's true, if I could fly not in the summer. Alas. Anything else you'd like to say about Asia for the Atlantic City audience?
Did absolutely no gambling. I don't know. No, I don't have too much.
You didn't play any pachinko?
I didn't. I walked by some pachinko parlors. It's just like, you know, you're like a bit overwhelmed being in a place where you don't speak the language already. And it's just like, this is going to be too much of like a new experience. And I don't know what's going on. I mean, I probably could have like watched a YouTube video or whatever to like familiarize myself with it. Like I'm a 3-year-old that has to be told what's going to happen. But I didn't. So
stupid question that only I care about. What was it like in Japan not knowing any Japanese?
Fine. Yeah, I mean, compared to like the other places in Asia I've been, which were Singapore and Hong Kong, obviously way fewer people know English in Japan than in those other two places where basically everyone knows English. I mean, I know literally one phrase in Japanese, and it's arigato gozaimasu, which is all you really need to know, I think. That's like the important one. Yeah, I don't know. It was fine. I mean, I've been to plenty of countries that I don't speak the language, so it's not so intimidating to me. Like I said, it's just like a bit more of a mental load to like, all right, need to work myself up to like go to this restaurant that I know I'm not going to share a language with them or whatever, but it always works out fine.
You also love Asian food, so.
I do love Asian food, yeah.
As long as you're not getting like super weird, you probably would eat the weird stuff, yeah. Right? I don't eat the weird stuff.
Yeah, so I went to a izakaya, like I went to like a grilled meat place in Japan. I definitely had some like pretty weird food. I had like extremely fatty hen or whatever. It was like extremely chewy. It was even called like chewy hen or whatever. And it was chewy. So that was pretty strange. And like a couple other things. So it was fun though. It was a good time.
Did you have one of those whipped cream sandwiches?
No, I did not.
Apparently they're everywhere. And the egg sandwich?
No.
None of that.
Mm-mm.
All right. Did you play any gacha games?
I don't know what that is.
It's like the claw game. It's not a claw. It's basically like the bubbles, like what you get in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, moving on from Asia.
I know you being a huge weeb, I know you'd be impressed. There were really like around where I was, especially in Tokyo and Shibuya, like a lot of, let's say, hotels where you could rent for day use.
Yeah, I think that's very prevalent.
They call
Japan.
Them love hotels.
Really?
At least maybe we call them love hotels.
Was there just anime and Nintendo stuff everywhere?
There was a lot of it, but like any more than like any other place? Probably not.
That's become really prevalent here.
It's
too.
Prevalent even here. And yeah. And if you're like in New York or, you know, any big city, I feel like there's plenty of billboards that are like have anime characters on them or whatever.
I mean, they sell like Naruto shirts in Target.
Hmm?
Anyways.
It was good. I think people should travel. So.
Nope. Traveling's terrible.
I know. I know that you're not the audience that wants to hear that message.
The only place you should travel is Atlantic City, New Jersey, which we do all the time.
Yeah, including in September, apparently.
Let's figure that out. So we have some news to plow through.
Yep.
first and foremost, the third episode in a row that we're talking about these restaurants that aren't happening on the lobby level of Ocean.
Yeah, so I read this article that you linked to from 943thepoint.com. And I guess what he said is that he wants the Jersey Shore to be a place that's like for relaxation for him. So he changed his mind. That seems like kind of a BS. Like, that doesn't sound like a real thing, right?
Incredibly skeptical
right.
of that reason. But regardless, it confirms that it was his side, or at least seems to confirm yeah. it was his side and not Ocean's side.
Right.
Hopefully Ocean gets something else in those spaces because
right.
they're good spaces. They're good.
Yeah, I assume that just something didn't work out and he decided to back out. But the reason given sounds like some fake news.
Always my favorite with pro coaches is when they're like, I'm quitting to spend some time with my family. And then they're
like, it was basically exactly what he said.
Yeah, get rehired like 5 minutes later. It's always my favorite. Mm-hmm.
I feel like he was being disingenuous.
I can't say for sure. The other downer news is that Good Dog Bar closed yesterday, mm-hmm. August 11th. Very short run.
It was not a long run at all. I mean, certainly when we went, we were literally the only people there, I think. So
yeah, there was like one other dude there who had to like run out and
yeah.
pay for his meter.
Oh, like move his car or whatever.
Yeah. So the Philadelphia location staying open. The Atlantic City one was, what, less than 2 years, I think it ended up being open?
I mean, it feels like it was even shorter than that, but I don't know when it opened.
Yeah, so they posted on social media, well, they said that the circumstances in Atlantic City have deeply impacted our operations and financial health. They mentioned the lack of summer beach concerts, the air show being canceled as stuff that's keeping people away.
Much like the last news item, I feel like that's a little bit of BS.
It doesn't help, I'm sure. Like,
it doesn't help, but I'm sure that it's just doing worse than they thought it was going to do.
It's like not in a great location, I will say.
It's in a bad location.
In terms of it's way out of the way.
It's not near anything except for Knife and Fork, which is not really. I mean, it's close to Stockton, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many Stockton kids were going there. Apparently not enough.
I really liked Good Dog Bar. Like, I liked the appetizer we got. I thought the happy hour was cool. I thought it was like a cool vibe in there. But yeah, I mean, it's just sort of not an amazing location because it's not super convenient to any of the casinos. It's not convenient at all to any of the casinos.
I mean, it's like you could walk there from Trop, but even that would be a bit of a hike, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you can say that no bars can work. I mean, certainly Ducktown Tavern has been around for a very long time doing sort of similar stuff, right? So
it's in a much better location, though.
Yeah, it's in a much, much better location. You know, Vagabond, I guess, sort of has more of a history in AC.
Yeah, yeah. I think Wonder Bar, by all accounts out there, is also pretty popular.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one maybe argument about Good Dog Bar is that it had, I think, slightly higher quality food, and maybe that's a harder sell.
You think?
I think the food was a little more expensive than...
Than Vagabond? I think that Vagabond and Ducktown Tavern had good food, personally, but...
I think Vagabond's food is very medium.
Hmm.
And at least that's my general experience. It's fine. Although one time I went, I was like extremely hungover and not...
Yeah.
Feeling the food, no matter what it was.
I mean, we just bought the nachos last time we were there, so
yeah.
It's not that much to go off of.
And then the time before that, I got like a burger or something, I don't know.
Yeah, when me, you, and Paul went. I don't remember what I got, but I thought it was good. So
yeah, Good Dog Bar is closed.
Yep.
I keep thinking I should do like an Atlantic City happy hour sort of thing on the website, and that would have been on the list, but now it makes it a little easier to do that because there's one less thing.
Yeah, well, we need to check out some more places. Wonder Bar is one for sure we need to check out. I continue seeing good stuff about the Club Madrid. So,
oh, yeah.
The old Angelinos.
Angelinos Club Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go out of order here because we talked about Stockton. There's a new coffee shop. New things opening. We've talked so much about closings the last two episodes. On Ventnor Avenue down past Stockton, just a couple blocks from Rife, there is a coffee shop that had its grand opening on Wednesday, August 7th. It is called Brewberry Cafe. Atlantic City. So I'm assuming they're catering to more of the like Margate, Ventnor,
yeah.
that area, like further south part of Atlantic City, the Stockton people, but it looks very cool. Lots of like baked goods, lots of crazy looking iced coffees and stuff, if that's your jam. I would make a trip down there.
Yeah, it sounds up your alley. I mean, I don't have any reason to go down there, I don't think, but I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast or not, but I read somewhere, I feel like a couple months ago, that the other coffee shop that was down there that was run out of someone's garage was closed by the city.
Shut down, yeah.
Yeah. So I know that was open for a couple years and had a good run and had a pretty big following. So I don't know what's happening with that.
their deal is they were only actually supposed to be selling like packaged coffee out of the garage, mm-hmm. and they weren't supposed to be like selling iced coffee made and ready to go, because then it's like a different...
It's a restaurant.
Licensing
of,
or something.
Whatever. Yeah. Package goods store.
Yeah, so they got shut down for that, I guess.
Yeah.
The Brewberry, as far as I can tell, has no website, but they're on Instagram, Brewberry Cafe, AC, all one word, if you want to go check that out. There's another opening, several openings this week, needs to counteract some of the closings. In classic Showboat fashion, I saw this as like the telephone game of Instagram posts. Like somebody took a screenshot of someone else's Instagram post and posted it on Facebook.
Did they, like, print out a picture of someone's Instagram post and then take a photo of it on their phone, of the picture on a table?
I think it might have been a picture taken with a phone of a computer, but it's in the Atlantic City Casinos and More Facebook group.
Well, we don't like them, so that's like, the quality of reader in that group.
I don't know anything about the Atlantic City Casinos and More Facebook group.
I don't either.
And that I'm in it. So there's a new restaurant at Showboat called Limonada Bar and Brunch. And it is very bright green and yellow, I think replacing where the surf bar was at the Showboat. In classic Showboat style, there is nothing about it on their website. As far as I can tell, this place has no website, no social media, no nothing. So, like, no one would know to come here. But it is very bright. It's right on the boardwalk. It's got some white and yellow umbrellas that are very inviting. It looks like it has a Miami Beach location with the same colors and the same logo. I'm assuming it's entirely related. I have lots of concerns about this place that just opened.
Why? I mean, the Showboat is so successful that anything that moves in is just going to succeed.
If this was on the lobby level of the ocean, I would say, like, what a fantastic thing that has opened here. But opening in the Showboat with nothing about it on the web in any way, shape, or form, and, like, literally, I think the only way you could even know about it is if you walked right by it on the boardwalk.
That's, like, a bigger deal in Atlantic City than Eat Atlantic City or whatever.
Ace.
Atlantic City Eatery.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Brickers Burgers.
Yeah. I could link to the Miami Beach version. They have breakfast, brunch, and dinner at the Miami Beach one. The Miami Beach one has your favorite, hookah.
Yeah, makes me very ill.
You love it.
I mean, I do enjoy the process of it, but yeah, 10 minutes later, I'm feeling bad. And then like 30 minutes later, I'm like laying in bed, not moving. So
yeah, I'd love to talk about things like the menu and prices, but we don't have any of that. So
yeah,
if anybody's been, send us a picture of the menu.
Yes, I'm sure that many of our listeners have been because the Showboat is so popular.
Right. I mean, it is right between Ocean and Hard Rock.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of cross traffic, but it's a tough one for me.
Speaking of things that are open, it's been closed for a very long time, but the Landshark is back open at resorts, so, or outside of resorts, I guess.
Celebrate.
Go get some fish tacos, I guess.
Yes.
That you claimed were good and I claimed were terrible.
I will say, I think I've been there and eaten there 3 times now. The service can be excruciatingly slow. I don't know if that's changed at all since it reopened. I know that we talked about it before, saying that it's basically like glorified snack stand food. Like it's like a step above a baseball game, or maybe not even.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to sit outside there, I'll say. If you really like super sweet frozen drinks, they have that as an option. They have the boardwalk seating, which is cool. So like as far as having a lot of outdoor seating, it's good.
Well, it's not boardwalk seating, right? Like Margaritaville has boardwalk seating. They're like adjacent to the boardwalk, right?
Well, I mean, it's like right off the boardwalk.
Past the boardwalk.
Okay, slightly past the boardwalk, yeah. And then they have more of the patio around the back. Because they have that, like, to-go bar, basically, right off the boardwalk, with seating in a fire pit. I don't know if the fire pit's still there after, you know.
bad PTSD from that.
Yeah, no fires. No fires near the Landshark. I know that Jeff from New York posted the N-U-Y-A-W-K channel, posted a very critical video of the Landshark. I think saying the service is not very good and the food was not great, but which does check
which
out.
Was my experience.
But I think it does well regardless, so, and I'm happy that it's back open.
So I guess the final new opening in Atlantic City is the Game Up Lounge is now open in the quarter at Tropicana, not to be confused with their other arcade that's in the North Tower. Apparently you can share cards between these two locations, so it's like one card that will get you gameplay at both of the Tropicana arcades. This goes along with kind of the new arcade that recently opened in Harrah's, and then we've got Dave & Buster's, which also recently opened, plus the Lucky Snake at Showboat. So it seems like there's a lot of arcades in Atlantic City now.
We need to do an arcade tour, and then we can do Always Once Never arcades. And you would say never, never, never.
Yeah, I would say never to all of them. Anyway, I hear you're the highest level of loyalty at the Dave & Buster's, so you definitely need to go to the one in Atlantic City.
I actually moved up even one more level. I mean, I'm still, like, the status is the same, but they also have levels within the status, so I'm level 5 at Dave & Buster's.
Ooh, that sounds like a big level.
I went on Saturday. It was just me and my son for the weekend, and we went to Dave & Buster's and played a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
He's funny, though. He always picks, like, the smallest toys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he just doesn't think we have enough points to get, like, the giant Pikachu, and so he gets, like, a Matchbox car, but, I mean, he does, like, legitimately love Matchbox cars, but...
I just want 30 Chinese finger traps, please. That's what I want.
He spent, like, literally a fifth of our points, which, like, my daughter, that's not how she lives her life. Yeah. She would be like, can I get this thing? It's like, this is literally a Nintendo Switch. Right. Like, no, you cannot get...
The PS5.
Yeah, it costs 120,000 tickets. We have 2,000 tickets. Anyways, yeah, I mean, I love these arcades. Although, I guess if you're in the casino, fine. But I don't know why I'd go to one of these instead of, say, Lucky Snake or Dave & Buster's or, you know, gambling.
I haven't been to them, so I can't. I mean, I certainly would rather gamble, but that's just me. I think it's good if you have kids, though. Like, if you have kids and are staying in Tropicana, it's nice to have an option. I don't know why they need two arcades, but, you know.
I mean, I'm guessing this is more of like an arcade bar.
This seems more like a Dave & Buster's or whatever. Yeah, not really for kids, necessarily, though I'm sure they're allowed.
So a soft opening happened in July. They say that it's the hottest new hangout destination. I'll link to an article from New Jersey 101.5 so that we can get two different radio station links in the podcast. I think that really helps the SEO. So yeah, it's open. If anybody goes, let us know how it is. It says they have TVs and a snack bar that offers candy, chips, soda, juices, and more. That's not what I want. I want like a $12 Coors Light. It would be really good. Like, you got to get it on par with Dave & Buster's.
Yeah.
Dave & Buster's does very cheap drinks on Sunday, I'll say. I don't know if the Atlantic City one does, but the one in Wayne, New Jersey, it's like $3 beer or something crazy. It's really cheap. That's how you get icon status.
Wasted on Sunday at noon?
Surely they don't do that during football season, right?
Presumably not.
I mean, why wouldn't you be wasted on Sunday at noon? What are you even doing with your life if you're not wasted at Dave & Buster's on Sunday at noon?
I mean, I'd be wasted at Topgolf on Sunday at noon instead.
That's a good point. Does Topgolf have TVs?
Yes, they do.
So that's the openings. New stuff is always good because I feel like we've had a lot of downers with a lot of stuff closing.
Yeah.
We need new stuff.
And it's especially important with our upcoming Atlantic City trip.
It's true. The other thing that this reminded me of since I was at Dave & Buster's, you know, because I go to Dave & Buster's way more than I go to casinos, was an Always Once Never that was like, you know, kids first gambling, but I felt like that was a little bit uncouth. You know, like crane game, coin pusher. There are a bunch of new ones now. Like instead of a crane game, it's like a stacker. It's like dots going back and forth and you have to hit the button at the right time to stack them. And if you get it all the way to the top, you get like the big prize.
That sounds like pretty.
I saw somebody in Rehoboth Beach get the big prize. Ooh. But the big prize was a pack of Pokemon cards, so like
I feel like it's just a scam, but I think it's just because I didn't have that as a child on like crane games and coin pushers, so I suspect it's just my age being like, what is this newfangled thing? This is, you know, just ripping off our children.
There are a couple other ones. There's one where you have to like time an arm that swings back and forth perfectly to go right into this little slot, and you get whatever the corresponding slot is. That seems like legitimately impossible to me. And then even more impossible than that is the ones where it's like a huge 4-foot tall stuffed animal hanging from a string. And there's a piece of scissors, like a little mechanical scissor that's like 3 millimeters wide. And you've got to time it, like move slowly, and you've got to time it to cut the string. Except like even if you hit it perfectly, it probably has
it's
to
not
hit
cutting the string.
It has to hit it 50 times before it finally cuts the string. So it's like a progressive slot. It's like, you know, Buffalo Ascension, where you've got to see how frayed the string is. Buffalo Ascension for a 4-foot tall seagull eating a French fry, I think, is is what that game is. If you're trying to get your kids into gambling, you know, Chuck E. Cheese is obviously a start. But really, I mean, even the boardwalk, I think, when you're talking crane games and all that stuff, certainly the Central Pier is just like an alley
of crane
games.
It is an alley of crane games. Yeah. With the go-karts at the end. Yeah.
There is, like, I remember playing on the Ocean City, Maryland boardwalk, just playing literal video poker for tickets, which is probably, like, the worst thing that you can possibly do in one of those arcades.
I like the video poker that's with, like, balls.
What?
I think
I've
that's
never
fun.
Seen that.
It has 5 balls, and they pop, and you can, like, hold some, and then, like, pop the other 3.
Oh, I've never seen that. Now I have to seek that
I think
out.
There's ones that you can roll, too, but, like the horse game.
Oh, yeah, we did that. My wife won a little stuffed horse. She beat a bunch of teenagers at the rolling the balls into the thing.
See, I thought you were going to say children, and I'm like, eh, that's maybe not that great. But teenagers, like, I'm 100% support you beating them.
Oh, man. So I, in my head, I'm like the greatest whack-a-mole player ever because I won two times in a row at Hershey Park. And then I realized, like, everyone around, you can only see the side you're on, but, like, everyone was, like, 6 years old.
Right.
But I did get each of my kids a stuffed animal. Sometimes you just got to beat up a bunch of, like, little six-year-old kids at whack-a-mole.
Yeah, man. Just,
it happens.
Yeah, let me tell you, I've played a lot of chess in my life, so I don't know if this has been talked about on the podcast, but yeah, playing kids is the worst, because if you beat them, like, they'll start crying, and you, like, really don't feel great about your life, but if they beat you, they, like, gloat so much, and it's just, like, the worst experience in the world, so it's, like, lose-lose.
So it's, like, you enter a tournament, and there's just, like, kids in
it? Yeah, and there's just, like, you know, some 9-year-old that you have to play or something.
It's not like you're going to the park, and you're, like, seeing a 6-year-old sitting at a bench, and you're like, hey, kid.
No, this isn't a tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of those kids are pretty good, too. So,
yeah, I believe that.
I mean, I'm not that great, but if they're playing me, they're, like, decent at least.
Yeah, unlike Whack-A-Mole, where if you're playing me in Whack-A-Mole, prepare to lose.
If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/doforawin. Find all of our great content at doforawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doforawin or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions to doforawin@gmail.com. Any last words, Craig?
I don't think so. It's 10:29, so let's get started.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I'm even considering, so we'll see, maybe by the time the podcast comes out, I'll have written up a short Twitter thread. My first real tweet in over 15 years about my trip.
So. Oh, nice. We have several listeners who are very into travel.
Yeah. One of them reached out to me on Facebook.
Oh, nice.
I was talking with him for a while. But
sounds good. And then we have homework, which is to schedule an Atlantic City trip.
Yep. So surely we'll have that on the books by the time this episode's posted.
Maybe.
Surely. S-H-O-R-E-L-Y.
I did see that pun a whole lot in Rehoboth Beach, I have to say.
Oh. Damn, I thought it was original, but...
No, everybody loves it. It's a Shore thing. It's all over Jersey Shore, too.
All right. Anyway, thank you guys very much, and we'll be back in a couple weeks.
I will be staring at Ocean City next week.
You'll be
Atlantic City.
In Ocean City next
I'll
week.
I'll be in Ocean City staring at Atlantic City.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like we should just meet, you know. I mean, never mind that, like, my kids' camp is over then, so they're just going to be sitting at home. I'm sure my wife would be really impressed if I'm like, I got to go to Atlantic City.
Bring them.